Father, we give you thanks for the promise of your word. And we pray that as we study your word again together, that you would speak to our hearts, that your spirit would take the written word and the spoken word and make it a living word for our lives this week. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Seemed appropriate with the readings that we've had on this All Saints weekend, as we celebrate our patronal festival, that we look at life, death, and eternal love. Let me begin with the words of Robert Browning's poem, Rabbi Ben Ezra. Grow old along with me, the best is yet to be. The last of life, for which the first was made, our times are in his hand, who saith, a whole I planned. Youth shows but half. Trust God, see all, nor be afraid. Or we might listen to the words of Richard Rohr in his inspirational work, Falling Upward, which is all about growing old. In my opinion, this first half of life task is no more than finding the starting gate. It is merely the warm-up act, not the full journey. I believe that God gives us our soul, our deepest identity, our true self, our unique blueprint, our unique little bit of heaven installed in us by the manufacturer before it all began, at the beginning of our lives. We are given a span of years to discover it, to choose it, and to live our own destiny to the full. All we can give back and all God wants from any of us is to humbly and proudly return the product that we have been given, which is ourselves. As a fellowship, we can express this in New Testament terms through the word of the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus, where together we are building up the body of Christ, until we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Well, let's turn for a few moments to our readings from the prophet Isaiah and from the book of Revelation. Tomorrow is All Saints' Day. And we are the congregation of all saints here in Odal, celebrating who we are. And we are, of course, all of us, saints, if we have entrusted our lives and eternity to God in Christ. Now, the word saint comes from the Greek word hagios, which means consecrated to God, holy, sacred, set apart for God. In the Bible, it's almost always used in the plural. So when Ananias is instructed by God to go and find Saul, later to become Paul, he says, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. Or later in the same chapter, when we read of Peter traveling through those regions and coming down to meet the saints who lived at Lydda. In Isaiah, the prophet's vision of a heavenly banquet, we find, where death is swallowed up and tears and disgrace are removed from our being, which leads the prophet to a hymn of praise. Surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. The Apostle John, in his vision of heaven, sees resurrection and judgment at the consummation of the world, the saints find God dwelling in their midst and making all things new. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And this is what we are celebrating today on our patronal festival, our heritage as all saints, and our eternal future as all saints with God in heaven. But then I suppose we stop and think about our present reality. But to that we need to add our future hope, which the prophet and the apostle speak of. None of us is getting any younger. Before the Lord comes to take us up to heaven or calls to us in death, we have fears. Fears about our health, fears about dying. Yet as Christians, we trust in God's promises. We trust in God's love for us that we've experienced and will continue to experience through life, through death, and into eternal life. Aging has its drawbacks, but it also has its strengths, one of which is a sense of perspective. This helps us, but of course it doesn't take away the darkness of the world, nor does it take away some of our own personal experiences. As Christians, we don't deny the realities of life. Living by faith will mean living with uncertainty. We need courage because, of course, we need truth. Truth that sometimes might be unpalatable, and even what we most fear. Worry is of no help to us. As my good friend Kath Taylor used to say when she was alive, she said, God doesn't give us the grace for imagined troubles. But is there in the reality of life's pains and fears? We live by faith. As Helen Oppenheimer, a writer in Christian Philosophy and Ethics, has written, the Christian hope is not that we shall escape the worst, nor that it will not hurt, but that if we can find the courage to go through the worst, there is resurrection on the other side. As well as courage, of course, we need each other. We need companionship, not only with our own generation, but also with those who are younger. A relationship of interdependence, not dependence. We also find assurance in the Christian practice of the presence of God, where in faith we walk hand in hand with God, and we walk hand in hand with each other. We often refer to those who share our life journey as companions. And the origin of the word companion, as I have said before, is found in the Latin words cum and panus, which means with bread. Our companions are those with whom we eat and share our meals, with whom we break bread, sharing at the deepest levels as we participate, as we will this morning, in the Eucharist, participating with Christ as the body of Christ. I find the words of Richard Gillard expresses the fellowship that we share here very well. We would have sung it, but it's not in the hymn book. And this is what Richard Gillard has written. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. We are pilgrims on a journey and companions on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. I will hold the Christ light for you. In the night time of your fear, I will hold my hand out to you speak the peace you long to hear. There is deep joy and contentment in knowing that in Christ we share something together, that we are companions, and that we are forgiven saints. We all have our flaws, we all have our failures, but in Christ we are forgiven. As Richard Rohr writes, God adjusts to the vagaries and the failures of the moment. The ability to adjust to human disorder and failure is named as God's providence, God's compassion for us. And these are the words that I like. Every time God forgives us, God is saying that God's rules do not matter as much as the relationship that God wants to create with us. God is saying that God's rules do not matter as much as the relationship that God wants to create with us. And just that biblical notion of absolute forgiveness, once we experience it, is enough to make us trust, to seek, and to love God. We're encouraged to learn and grow through tragedy and failure, because Jesus was never upset by sinners, only by those who thought they weren't sinners. We may at times find it difficult to accept questions and doubts, pain and suffering, but Jesus calls us, as he called the first disciples, to move on in faith and to trust him. When called by God into new situations, which may or may not be difficult and challenging for us, we are left to ask, how am I to live here? How am I to grow here? What am I to learn here? We need to learn to live in the context to which God calls us, never trying to chase the experience of the past or to find an easy way out. And we can see this in Jesus' encounter with Peter after the resurrection on the beach. After Peter has denied Jesus three times, and Jesus goes for a little private walk with Peter along the beach. A second call coming beyond failure, a new call to ministry and mission for Christ. To be called again is to be invited into a new depth of relationship with God. Growing old is about changing. And therefore, it is about human becoming, not simply human being. Jesus enters our human frailty and through his own broken body on the cross, suffers with us, even in our disease and our doubt and our death. Through his brokenness, we are made whole and holy saints. We need a new way of looking at aging. We are all growing older, but we will experience old age as a burden, or will we experience it as a gift, as a problem, or an opportunity? We can move away from the negative picture of decline to the positive harvest of fruits of a lifetime. Amongst family and friends, our experiences that we look back on, we must listen to the regrets, yes, and the guilt, and we need to think about those and meditate, but we meditate on forgiveness, reconciliation, and letting go. An elder is a person who is still growing and learning, still in pursuit of happiness and joy and pleasure, and our birthright to these remains intact through Christ in God. So we conclude with Journey's End. Herman Melville, author of Moby Dick, wrote, "Life is a journey that is homeward bound. Saints are those who are homeward bound. Richard Rohr suggests that the end is planted in us at the beginning and gnaws away at us until we get there freely and consciously, the Holy Spirit being our inner compass. And that's our hope. Our spirituality is rooted in the cooperation between our own souls and God. Our practice of faith and worship leads us to understand and discover our true self. And the true self knows that heaven is now. It's our relationship of love with God. And its loss is hell now, a broken relationship. The false self makes religion an evacuation plan to the next world. The true self has learned to live with the big picture, with all of history, to be part of the kingdom of God, to be part of the people of God, to be God's saints to the glory of God. God loves us unconditionally and universally and calls us to do the same. Listen again to Isaiah's prophetic words of encouragement. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all the peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meals, the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, the saints will say, "Surely this is our God. We trusted him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." We celebrate being all saints in Odal, now and for eternity. Thanks be to God. Amen.